So we pray, Heavenly Father, we're very glad to know that Jesus Christ in our midst in the form of the Holy Spirit, and that He is here, and we know the world is, even amongst us, many are, as it was back in the days of the apostles when He appeared on earth from in the resurrection, and they didn't know just what to do about it, and didn't know even until the going away when they said, "Will you restore the kingdom?" Only began to get an understanding when the Holy Spirit filled them and the Word began to come to them. And now here at the last time, Lord, we are in this hour when You are here, and we know why You're here. We know what is going on, and we know what will continue to go on, that we're heading right up into the kingdom. We thank You, Lord, that we are aware of that. We pray now You'll guide our thoughts tonight. May we learn that which is convenient for us, which is good for us, to illuminate us, to give us further understanding, further revelation, build up in the most holy faith, coming right up to that place where we know the dead will come out of the ground, and they without us will not be made perfect. We're coming in our turn. All these things working out, we being aware of them by grace and for Your glory. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. Now, I want to continue tonight on the projecting of love, and this is the fifth message. And this is going to be quite different in a way. I hope I can coordinate my thinking, actually, and what I'm going to say, knowing that as time goes on, it'll get clearer. But we'll read, first of all, in Titus 1:15, just a little bit of it. Unto the pure, all things are pure. Unto the pure, all things are pure. We could also read, but unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure, but even their mind and conscience is defiled. But mostly all things are pure to the pure in heart. And over in Romans, the 14th chapter, verse 14, I know and I am persuaded by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself. And then in the 20th verse, the second portion, all things indeed are pure, but it is evil for the man who eateth with offense. All, mostly thinking of all things indeed are pure. Now, these verses that especially bring out the thought, unto the pure all things are pure, and the persuasion that nothing is unclean of itself, are verses that prove conclusively the accuracy of Brother Branham's pointed statements when he says such as, a lie is the truth perverted, and that stealing and killing and all those things which we call sin are not sin, really. They're the attributes of sin, that sin is actually unbelief. The same way he said adultery is the right act done under the wrong conditions, and so on. Now, the point then with what Brother Branham said and what he read in Scripture is that we fail to apply this very real truth, which is in the Scripture, as a principle that must be watched carefully as we study the Word of God. And to make that as clear as I can, I want to go back to Genesis chapter 1 and the 31st verse, where it says, God saw that everything that He had made, and behold, it was very good. Everything that God made was very good. Then in the second chapter, the first three verses, thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them, and on the seventh day God ended His work that He had made, and He rested on the seventh day from all His work which He had made, and God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it He had rested from all His work which God had created and made. And then in the book of John, that's the gospel, there are about three verses. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. Now, in Genesis, the sixth chapter, 11 to 13, and the earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence, and God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt. For all flesh had corrupted his way, and of course the earth's way, all upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Now, if everything created was good, and nothing else by way of creation was added to it, because there is no record that there was, the question comes, what happened? Where did evil come from? And the answer has to lie back in Romans 14:14. I am persuaded by the Lord Jesus there is nothing unclean of itself. Now, back in the beginning of creation, as we know it, of course, for the last 6,000 years, because that's where we start, we were started out by God in the Garden of Eden, which was geographically the best spot in the universe, with all the best, very best furnishings that God provided here on earth. And, of course, it was so beautiful that and everything in such harmony that God could come down and visit in the Garden of Eden and enjoy his wonderful creation. Now, there wasn't one thing that wasn't perfect within itself. There wasn't one thing that wasn't perfect within itself. That's what we're looking at. Every atom and every molecule was perfect in themselves, and each in harmony with each other. There was a perfection. And there wasn't anything in the beginning that had within it any evil or power to change from good to evil. Now, we go back to Genesis 1 again. And it says in the 11th verse there, and the Lord God said, let the earth bring forth grass. Let it sprout the grass. The herb yielding seed and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth, and it was so. And the earth brought forth, sprouted forth the grass, the herb yielding seed after his kind, the tree yielding fruit, whose seed was in itself after his kind, and God saw that it was good. And 20 to 22. And the Lord God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that hath life, the fowl that may fly above the earth in the open firmament heaven. And God created great whales and every living creature that moveth, which the water brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply, that's continue in that seed, and fill the waters in the sea, and let the fowls multiply in the earth. Now, the key to understand what went wrong today and is wrong today is Genesis 2:8-9. The Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden. And there he put the man we had formed out of the ground, made the Lord God to grow every tree that's pleasant to the sight and good for food, the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And then 15-17, the Lord God took the man and put him in the garden of Eden to dress it and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day of eating of dying thou dost surely die. So there you can see that Adam and Eve upset everything by the introduction of sin, which manifests itself by the wrong use of what is good within itself. And that's what we're looking at. The wrong use of what was good within itself. Now back there, Adam, who was a living soul, had only one attribute that set him apart from all creation. He had a soul from God. That's what he had. He had a soul from God, and within that soul he had the power of choice. Now in that power of choice was the ability to believe or disbelieve God's word. And this led to action apart from the word, And sin is lawlessness. That's what sin is. Iniquity and sin are lawlessness. It's not just unbelief.
Unbelief is the root. It's the actual root.
But when you go to unbelief, you're denying the word, which is not a catalyst, but it's the living force in all of God's creation. And then what happens, you'll be doing in God's creation only with what is already in there, but you'll be doing what is wrong with it. And that's what happened. Now, he chose to disbelieve the word, and when he did, he immediately took what was in that which was in itself clean and a good thing, and used it wrong, and started all nature upon a course of disruption that ended in destruction. Now, the one word of unbelief was sufficient to set aside not the catalyst, although you might think in terms of a catalyst. It isn't really true. It's the dynamic force that would keep everything in its proper position, which was that word. And the minute that he went against the word, he was able to take into his hands a power which was there, legitimate within itself, and throw everything into disruption, a disunity, or as Brother Branham called, out of continuity. So I hope you're getting what we're talking about. Now, I just want to stop at this point, sort of stop, not really, and get us to look at something, which is Genesis 6 and 5, and God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Now, you'll notice in there that what you have is the word imaginations is reasoning. Reasonings, his reasonings. So, you can see what he was doing in setting aside the dictum, the principles, the ordained source of authority in the word. He was slanting his own thoughts and understanding in there. And you got the same thing today. I wonder I can find it for you. In Romans 14 here. I know and am persuaded by the Lord Jesus there is nothing unclean in itself, but to him that esteemeth anything to be unclean. Now that word esteem means to take inventory, and comes from the very word logos, which will show you that what this person is doing is taking that which is perfectly clean and whole and in a harmony in the universe, and you can throw the whole thing out when you interject your thinking. See? You follow what I'm saying? I'm right on beam here. See? Now I won't bring in something which I took over at Quincy on the glory of God here, but this is the same thing in here. It's the word estimation. Esteem, see, but I'll go into that another time. Now, the imagination or the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Now you can see why it is that the eyes of the heart today is illuminated to get you back on track. See, now I'm going to stop right here and tell you, if you've got any understanding at all, you know that you are the harmonious kingdom of God. See? Now look. We go to 11 and 14. The earth was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence, and the Lord looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt. For all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And as the Bible says, the end time they destroy the world, the earth. God said to Noah, the end of all flesh has come up before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. Behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make thou an ark of gopher wood. Room shalt thou make in the ark, shall pitch it within and without with pitch. And the 22nd verse, thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him, so did he. Now, this is the one person that's back in harmony with God. Okay. Now, we're going to go to Romans, the first chapter, and see what's in Romans, the first chapter, that actually is based upon this. Because this is a cataclysm. Verse 17, reading first. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Now, the truth is that everything is good of itself. There isn't anything in there that is out of continuity or out of harmony in the whole plan of Almighty God, but you find what does it. They hold it in unrighteousness, which is they don't move in the prescribed ordinances that's relative to it. Now listen, understand what I'm saying. The Word of God, all things were created by the Word, and all things are maintained by the Word. There's nothing that isn't. So the minute a person is out of harmony with the Word, he's out of harmony with everything. You see, get back into harmony is what you want, and you'll keep on moving on, like it says in Ephesians. Now, they hold the truth in unrighteousness. They don't keep it within its context, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things from creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made. Even His eternal power and God is, so they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their reasonings. You're right back to the sixth chapter, see, what we're talking about. And their foolish heart was darkened. Now, what was it? The reasonings brought on the darkening of the heart. Now, what is going to remove the darkening of the heart is an absolute bona fide revelation that is accepted. See? Now, I know a lot of people don't believe what we're preaching. I don't care what anybody believes. This, as far as I'm concerned, this tape won't go out either. I'm tired. You're just plain tired. I hope you believe. I hope you understand what I'm saying, because this is life. There's nothing else out here. See? Now, and change the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping. Now, what image are they making today? Unto the whore. Roman Catholicism. America's done it. See? They've changed God to God of the imaginations. Now, what you got are a bunch of fools out there professing they're wise. Now, wise virgins and stupid virgins. See? They don't even know what they're doing. Wherefore, God gives them over to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts. Now, what's coming out of their hearts? Darkness. The last plague in Egypt was spiritual death. It's the same today. Dishonoring their own bodies between themselves. How can a Protestant get to bed with a Roman Catholic? No more protest left than them than a cream puff. There isn't one left. They're all getting in bed with each other. Change the truth of God into lie. Worship and serve their creature more than creator. Serving their church systems. For this cause God gave them the vile affections. Even their women did change the natural use
into that which is against nature. See, the very thing I'm talking about that happened back there, it started right and they pervert its usage. Now, there's nothing wrong with male and female appurtenances, so to speak. It's what's done with it. There's nothing wrong with anything. It's what's done with it. For all things are pure to the pure in heart. Why? Because the pure in heart are going to leave things just the way they are. That's why the saints of God are purists. They're not necessarily Puritans. They're not necessarily prudes, although that's not half bad. Can't stand a prude. Those are the jerks that got everything wrong with them, but can't say anything wrong with themselves or everybody else. Likewise, the men leaving the natural use of the women, burning the lust one toward another, men with men working that which is unseemly, and getting AIDS and herpes, and serves them right, and concerning themselves, and receiving in themselves the recompense of their error, which was meat. And even if they did not like to retain God in their nature, God gave them order to reprobate minds, to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, and whispers. Where did it all come from? It came from over here at the beginning. They held the truth in unrighteousness. See? The Word of God is not a catalyst. A catalyst lets two things get together to form a third. The Word of God never ever did that, never will do it. The Word of God's not a catalyst. A lot of people think it is. That's why they get all scrupled up with this thing they want to call love. Don't you ever get that in your head, that love is a catalyst. There aren't any catalysts. Christ isn't a catalyst. A dynamic Savior. See? Didn't come to put a thing into balance and put one force against another. He came to overcome and destroy. Amen. You bet. Thanks for the amen. Bill, you're on my side tonight. Rest up, you're kind of sleeping. Not really. Okay. Listen. Without understanding covenant breakers, they break every covenant of God. How? Through their traditions. Without natural affection. Now, there's nothing wrong with natural affection. See? Implacable, unmerciful. Knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do it. They get together. Now, my thought is this, because I started out with verse 17. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. The thought is this, the further men get from God's word, the more man does wrong with what is actually good in itself, until that all that is of God and for God becomes anti-God. That's right, that's got to destroy it. Now, God has to deal with this. But notice, each time he deals with it, he sends a messenger with his word. Now, this here doesn't sound like a messenger, but this goes back to the 6th chapter in Noah. See, God had to destroy the earth. This is talking about destruction. At that time, they had a situation, and they had a prophet. Now watch carefully. The true seed word of God is never perverted. We read that in Genesis. It's supposed to bring forth after its kind. Where does it say it'll stop bringing after its kind? See, now man can fool with it. Man, because of his reasoning is wrong, and what he thinks is right, because he doesn't understand the Word of God and puts the Word of God down, he'll start using things he shouldn't use. He's got trouble right today. Now, the true seed Word of God is never perverted, never changes. It can't be, because it is the Word of God. That's supposed to bring forth after its kind. That seed is there. You can misuse it, but you can't change it. And the more misuse of it, the greater manifestation of the misuse of nature and all creation. That's why we had over here in Romans 1:26, and for this cause, God gave them up unto vile affections. Now, vile affections, he begins to enumerate to a degree some of those things what they are. But you can take and run it clean across the board. If the whole thing ends up at a time where there's a complete perversion of love. That's why we're preaching the way we're preaching on love. Got to get the thing balanced out. There's something wrong somewhere. There's something wrong somewhere. See? Now you got to bring it back to the Word. Notice what God did. He said that, he said it's revealed from faith to faith. Now, as men turn down the revelation, and as the destiny of this earth, which is destruction, with those that turn down revelation, is destruction, so God begins bringing up in the resurrection the church into eternal life by the Word. When church went down in the fourth church age, the dark ages lay in there dying. And under Luther begins to come back. But you notice, even though the truth is coming back under Luther, that which was in the dark ages is getting worse and worse and worse and worse until God says, this age, he said, you're rich and increased in goods. You say you don't need a thing, but you're wretched and miserable, rotten, you stink. He said, no one has ever rotten you. There's not one good thing said about this age. Not one good thing. The dark ages had one or two good things. But this age doesn't fight anymore. Yeah. Oh, there's nothing left there. That's just love, 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 love. It's a bunch of perverted hogwash. Now, notice, but good and evil ripen at the same time. Good and evil ripen at the same time. Listen, do you know, brother, sister, let's get this flat. Do you know in the flood, Noah, which types the one righteous person perfect, that man was genetically perfect. There's going to be a bride get out of here that's genetically perfect. Ain't going to be a bunch of louse-bound heathen and serpent seed. You better believe that. See? Now, in this our day, the evil is a repeat of the evil at the time of the flood and at the time of Sodom. Two periods. It's not just one, it's two. And notice that both times there was a cup of iniquity being filled up. And in each of these two cases we see, and also in the Exodus of Egypt, because they couldn't come out of Egypt till the cup of the Amorites was overflowing. So you can see the two things were coming. The denigration of the Word of God and the exaltation of the Word of Almighty God. Don't ever think that the Word of God is denigrated today and there's not an exaltation. Let me tell you flat, that's hogwash. The two right in the same time. The same time this earth is going to go down into multiple destruction, there's going to be a bride come out of this earth and there's going to be redeemed standing here that don't die. Now that's thus saith the Lord. You know that. All right, in each of these two cases we see. As also noticing the case of Exodus of Egypt. I say in each case we see the faith of God revealed at its zenith. So, as sin abounds, grace does much more abound. And as unbelief comes to a full head, so does faith in the Word come to headship and producing Him who is the giver of the Word, the Holy Ghost. The great interpreter and manifester of Himself is here. Sure. All right. Now, that's what it says in Romans 1 and 17. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and righteousness of men who hold the truth and righteousness. Now, he's telling you right there, as the faith of God moves on, the anti-faith moves on. As the Word moves on, the anti-Word moves on. As Satan moves on, God moves on. As we're coming to a place of destruction, God has never let the righteous perish with the wicked, never will. Now, the just shall live by faith. They go from faith to faith. This is taken from the book of Habakkuk, the second chapter. So we got to find Habakkuk back here somewhere. And we'll read 2:1-4. I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower, and will watch to see what he will say unto me, and I shall answer when I am reproved. And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision, make it plain upon tables, that he may run the reed of it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie, though it tarry, wait for it, because it shall surely come, it will not tarry. But his soul, which is lifted up, is not upright in him, but the just shall live by faith. Now you notice in here this, the uplifting of man's soul, which is not right, that darkness of his reasonings. At the same time, the just are going to live by faith. So there's an increase in faith and in unbelief. But remember that unbelief outweighs faith as per the vessels, millions to one. 4 billion people living today, and how many bride? What, 300, 400? Don't ask me, I don't know. Now the third chapter, 1-6. The prayer of Habakkuk the prophet upon Shiganiath. O Lord, I have heard thy speech and was afraid. O Lord, revive thy work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make known. In wrath, remember mercy. God came from Teman and the Holy One from Mount Paran. His glory covered the heavens and the earth was full of his praise. And his brightness was as the light. And he had horns coming out of his hand, and there was the hiding of his power. Before him went pestilence, and burning coals went forth at his feet. He stood and measured the earth. He beheld and drove asunder the nations, and the everlasting mountains were scattered, and the perpetual hills did bow. His ways are everlasting. Now just showing here, at the end time coming, you have the God speaking, God giving a prophet, God bringing back the word, and at the same time, they that see, because that seed never fails. You can't do anything against the word but for it. You can do nothing against God but for him. Now, I have left my subject, as it were, but I really haven't. We're still on the subject of projecting love, but leading up to something. Everything is a perversion. It is a perversion by sin, a wrong usage of what was from the beginning. We must now return to the truth. Now, last Sunday, we saw how there were three messages from the beginning that made one entire message. Spirit, Word, and love, and they're all one. This is a message from the beginning. In the beginning was the Word. The Word made everything. This is a message in the beginning. Love. This is a message in the beginning. The Spirit of God moved upon the face of the deep. You've got actually three messages. Spirit, Word, and love, and they're all one. And it was that revealed Word, God revealed by God himself, that made us all one with the Spirit, the Word, and love. Now that's the only way the love of God can be in our midst, and we know anything about the love of God to receive it and to practice it. There isn't any other way. Now, and that love of God revealed by God was what brought love amongst us as it did of old to the first church. And this is the love that we want to talk about now, because that's what this message is about. It's that agape love, that or agape love, whichever you want to call it. Now, it can't be had outside the revealed word, because even the purest can wrongly be used. Now, simply cannot be. Now, this is where we come to the understanding that every single thing from the beginning was pure and right and good. And of itself, it cannot be changed. It is pure, right, and good. Otherwise, there wouldn't be a resurrection. Otherwise, God would not bring back in the millennium what he's going to bring back. Now, under the new Jerusalem, he changed the order. There'll be no need for the Son. So that'll go by the board. But there's going to be birds. There's going to be trees. There's going to be animals. And a lot of people don't want to believe that kind of resurrection. They're so smug concerning themselves, they think they're going to be there, and they ain't going to be there at all, because they just believe the word, and the birds are going to be there. I can understand that and feel good about it. Now, see, all this can be wrongly used, because that's the name of the game. That's what's going on. But if man ever gets back to the word, then he's on the way to restoration. I said, people don't understand that Elijah's going to restore. Oh, they say, well, there's got to be this restored. You're talking about a bunch of temples and a bunch of things. You've got to be ridiculous. What do I care two bits about a temple being restored here, restored there? You go back to the Word, you get on course with the Word, everything is already here, it just needs to be put into harmony. That's why there'd be a resurrection. Gonna bring it all back. There's nothing gonna be lost. God's not gonna lose anything. Now, it can't be this love, and what we see cannot be outside the revealed Word, because even the purest can be wrongly used. The prophets brought the Word and they died for it. Jesus died to fulfill it. Peter, Paul, Thomas, Polycarp, Justin, and millions have died because of that, the agapo love, or the revealed spirit word love that was their life. Every one of them who died took a stand with the spiritually revealed word, for the scripture said they loved not their lives unto death. Now then listen, when we talk about the pure love, the agape love of God, we constantly contrast it with filial love, and in so doing, now listen, here's the point I want to bring out. I start right in the beginning. That everything is pure in itself, and it cannot be changed to another order. You've got to keep it in the order. That's why I believe before it's over, these people experimenting with germs, splicing the RNA and the DNA, are going to bring upon themselves what they would to God they wish to have. But they'll keep doing it. See, like the atomic bomb's going to hit them. All right. Now, the trouble is, when we study the agape love of God, we contrast with filial love, because the agape love has been brought to a filial status. That means that a filial has been raised to the agape status. You can't do it. Now the Bible thinks, he says, how can a man say he loves God if he doesn't love his brother? Now that puts it right. You got the love toward God, then you got the love toward the brother. And you're both agape loves. Then you step down into a filial love, which doesn't mean that filial love is rotten. Because in itself, it is not rotten. See, it is good within itself. What it is, it's been perverted. But if the church gets back to the true filial love, which is there for it as well as the agape love, it'll be an unperverted filial love. Now, filial love is not in itself perverted unless it's made that way. But it must be kept filial love and maintained the way it is. Now, to continually place filial into an unrestored original position is wrong. Now, it's like we took the word world, cosmos. Not until, oh, just a few short months ago, did I realize that I was getting an entirely wrong understanding of cosmos, because every theologian, and Brother Branham in particular, used it in a way to express his understanding of what he had to express, and he failed to express it in the way that it could also have been expressed and still been perfectly scriptural. He always used it in the bad sense of the world system, the world of the devil. But that word cosmos has a good side as well as a bad side. Now that's the thing. Now the word cosmos means order. And God's got His cosmos. God so loved the world, His cosmos, that Jesus died for it. And in dying for it, and if He hadn't died for it, we never would be in a resurrection, because our bodies are made out of dirt. Now the blood of Jesus Christ fell upon the ground in order to redeem us who came out of the ground. Now we could have been perfectly wonderful, adapted to God in a paradise without a body. We could have our spirit body, which is what Brother Branham called a theophany. Call it what you want. We could be up there having a great time, but we weren't meant for that. Now God is restoring an order. And in the millennium, you will see the divine order of Eden restored because the prophet said we're going to get back to Eden. And that's going to be in glorified bodies. So therefore, when God so loved his order, what he made, and he said heaven and earth will never pass away. In fact, Brother Branham categorically stuck with the word of God, and he said it's not going to be destroyed, it's going to be dissolved, and it's going to be brought right back again. That's exactly true. See? Now our bodies that went to gas is going to come back, but they're not going to come back the same bodies in the sense of being exactly the same as the world isn't. There won't be any sea to it. It's going to be brought back for the new heavens and the new earth in a wonderful way. But you see, God loved his order. Now, so therefore, as it says in Peter, that he destroyed by the flood the world of the ungodly. Then there's the world of the godly. So there's an order there. Now, Brother Branham never did use that. But he used it in the sense of preaching predestination. And the coming back. Absolutely. Now, he didn't miss it. He just didn't categorize it. Well, you say, what are you doing? I'm trying to help you to understand this. Now, what comes across my path, I'll categorize as long as it lines up with the Word of God, which it certainly does, as the prophet brought it. So, let's look at the root word from which filio comes from. Literally, it comes from this root. Now, when you look at this word, filio, love, it really, in many instances, is to be a friend or give a personal attachment, such as like in a family. Now, let's just see some of these words that's not the agapo, love, but has the more of the root of the filio. Okay, let's go to John 15. And in verse 19, if you're of the world would love his own. But you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hated you. Alright? If you're of the world would love his own. But you're not of the world, but I have chosen out of the world. Alright, now you can see that word in there, kind of what it looks like. That's basically filial love. The world would love you. In other words, they'd recognize you as their own. Say, well, you're a part of me. I'm a part of you. We've got our fellowship. We've got this good thing going here. All right. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 16 and 22. Now, if any man love not the Lord. Now, that's that same word. The Lord Jesus Christ, let him be accursed. Okay? That's what it says. Same word in there. All right? Let's go back to John 20 and 2. Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved. Now, Jesus was loving John. Now, that's not agape love. That's the other. Okay? Let's go to John 16 and 27. For the Father himself loveth you, not the agape love, because you've loved me. Not that word at all. It's the other word. See? Okay. With that, Revelation, the third chapter, that's our day. Here we are in the 19th verse talking about us. As many as I love. Verse 19, I rebuke and chasten. That's not agape love. That's the other. But look who's using it. Okay. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians. The 4th chapter and the 9th verse. But as touching brotherly love, you need not that I run to you, for ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another. Now that's that other love again. All right, back to Titus, the 3rd chapter, 15th verse. And they that are with me salute thee. Greet them that love us in the faith. Now, you'd think all the way down the line they'd have to use that agape love, wouldn't you? But they're not doing it. Now, here you are getting heavy into the filial love, brotherly love. Where some of these words actually, where it says, husbands love your wives, that's the love of a man for a woman. Wife love your husband, that's the love of the woman for the man. It's a special word that includes the male in one part, loving the man, the female the other. And children love your parents and so on, and parents love your children. That word has that filial aspect in there. It's not the agapo at all. It's the other. All right? Brotherly love and love of the brethren. Okay, first of all, we go to Hebrews, the 13th chapter. And we begin reading. Let brotherly love continue. Okay? 1 Peter 1 and 22. Seeing ye have purified your souls and obeying the truth of the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. 1 Peter 3 and 8. Finally, be of one mind, having compassion one another, love as brethren. Be pitiful, be courteous. Now, all of these here are, as we saw or do see in Titus, I believe the 3rd chapter 1 and verse 4. But after that the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared. Now, what you can see here, I see a lot of, is this. Especially from this 4th verse. He's talking about God incarnated. And here God in a human form is loving the brethren that are in a human form. So he's never ever got rid of the thought of a brotherly love, which would be superseded by the agapo love, so that brotherly love no longer obtains and is a dirty thing. That's not true. No way, shape, and form. Here's God himself talking about the love to his son, and his love to us, not in the agapo, which everybody wants to talk and put there, but he's talking in the other level. Showing you that both are absolutely pure and wonderful in their own place. And you don't pervert. See, the church has perverted. And it's not good. In fact, it's horrible. Alright. Thus, we want to say, we have got to get back to the revealed word, which is alone the truth. This sets everything in divine order to get back to the unperverted. This is true restoration. It has started and is going on apace. It is our privilege to believe that the whole word of God for this hour, and believe that we are spoken of. Yes, prophesied of, in John 17, 13 to 16. Now let's go and look at it. Now I come to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in them. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they're not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not thou should take them out of the world, but keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is true. That as thou hast sent me in the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. Now you notice in here, he's putting this on the highest standard, right back to a perfection or restoration. Now these people are not confused with agape and filial. They're not confused anymore with what is right and what's wrong. Okay, they're not out here wandering in the desert. See? They're under divine orders of the shout, the military command, and the subjection, which is the word of God coming into its fullness. Notice, as thou sent him in the world, even so I sent them to the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Now you're separated for the truth. So therefore you're not under carnal reasonings and creeds and codes and dogmas and churches. You're not confused with filio and agape love. You're not all messed up. See? Now, neither pray I for these alone, but for them also that shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one as thou, Father, art me, and I in thee. They also may be one in us, that the world may believe thou sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me I have given them, that they may be one even as we are one. Now that's that estimation that goes back to Logos, where you realize that as he came from God, we came from God. But when he was fullness, we're not. We're a modicum. But we got a destiny to fulfill. I in them and thou in me, they may be perfect in one. That's completed and polished off. The world may know thou sent me and hast loved them, and thou hast loved me. Notice where the love of God went. Plumb to the word delineated upon his own. Then where will we go? Plumb to the word delineated back upon God and to each other. And we'll know agape from filial. We'll know where the two stands. And we'll go into more and more scripture on this as we get time. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I've known thee. And these have known that thou hast sent me. Now look, and get the understanding. This is all there, having devolved upon us by the fact of the word coming to us. Because this is what's doing it. Don't you know that God created literally something out of nothing? So it isn't hard to take a bunch of manure heads and manure heapers off the dung heap and become princes. But just you, I think some people here, maybe in this church, might even believe in that hogwash of alchemy, where some dunderhead could take lead and turn into gold by his mumbo-jumbo hocus-pocus, but you wouldn't believe that God could take you and make you a divine son. Because you are a divine son. See? That's the whole thing. Too much wishy-wash. Got to get rid of it. Now listen. And I have declared unto them thy name, and I will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them and I in them. Now, there you are. There's that great love. The highest divine order from God, the high divine order in us. And everything coming in perfect continuity as in its proper relationships. Because they're not just an agape love. There's a filial love. As he said, you talk about God loving you and you loving God, and there's not something going out towards your fellow brothers. I'm not finished yet, but I'm going to get down to the line pretty soon by the grace of God. All right. Agape love. True love of God. Being revealed. Or true love of God. By revelation. Revealed word, rather. Will bring a true filial love amongst us. Now, a true filial love then, in my understanding, would be a love of the brethren, that you would act in accordance to your brothers, according to the word of God. Now that wouldn't make you an ogre, or riding herd on somebody, or trying to take something over on somebody, but would give you a complete appreciation and a love toward your brothers. His brother Branham said, he said, a man cannot touch a woman without her getting some kind of sensation in the man. Well, I'm not saying tonight, now, hey, with this great agape love, all you folk can hug each other. You try it around here and I'll use a 4x4 on you. That ain't that. That's perversion. You're right back with the scum and the skunks. Agape love will make you love your sister. You won't put a hand on her. That's right. Something come in your heart and say, I can't devour her. I couldn't do this or that. How do you think I've stood any test? I prayed years ago, God, don't let me ever see it. You don't think I wouldn't be just as messed up as anybody else and 10 times worse? Tell you, if you want to talk sometime, I'll talk with you man to man or even man to woman. Let me tell you something. There's something bigger than all this. I'm no paragon of virtues. I'm the worst of the monks. I'm the low man on the totem pole here. Why, God should let me preach to you fine people more than I know. Maybe I got a little gift. That's the whole thing. I guess that is the whole thing, nothing else. Well, let's understand this. I'm not talking anything but in terms of the strictest. where you can have a real filial love. And there is such a good thing, which is an absolute brotherly love in the church. Sure. Well, you're not afraid to let your hair down where you can trust people. Where you know there's not going to be some hanky-panky or something pulled up. Where women and men are honorable before God. Yes, there's a real, listen, there's a true filial love because God had that for His Son. Right? Parents have it for their children. We have it for each other. It's in the Bible. See? Now listen. Agape love, true love of God, by revealed word, will bring a true filial love amongst us. A true blood of Christ relationship that is beyond human blood, making the bride the very blood of God because she is for the life is in her. Behold how they love each other. It's not just agape love. That's got to be there first. But then it goes that pure filial love, that real brotherly love. The real fine brotherly love. Like, look, I said the other Sunday, we got to understand parental relationship, children relationship, and our kin relationship through blood. Now, anybody that doesn't fight for his family, anybody that doesn't provide and do things for his family, that guy's an infidel. But then neither can he put his family above the bride if his family's wrong. That's corrupt, trappy, filial love. Amen. You don't know the first thing about the love of God, you just say you do. Now we're getting home tonight. I stuck my neck out in these theories here. That's why I don't even want to run out of this church. Now I'm looking from now on that nothing amongst us come in that has to do with a family. Your family needs to rebuke your family. That's not love to not rebuke your family. You bet. And I don't mean hit them over the head. I mean go with the word of God and say, listen, I'm going to tell you something. There's a life out here to be lived, but there's too much time being spent. Are you praying these days? That's right. You got your family around you. So you can pray. Do you get together? See, you can't stop. You listen, I've been preaching for years to let you know what you should do. Now look, I've stuck my neck out here. The devil will do everything he can to destroy me and my ministry here and destroy you. You watch and see. But it's something I've got to take up the challenge on. Stand with this word. There's a God in heaven to reveal word. There's got to be a bride somewhere. And if we're not bride, fine, let's get out of the way. I don't want to chop people's heads off. But let's understand this. There is still too much weakness among us to run here and to run there. There could be more in this service tonight. I'm not just, I don't want, listen, let's get this back. I can walk out of here tonight and never preach to you again. That's right, no problem. I don't need to preach. I don't want to preach. But what is it makes me want to come here and stand and preach? To shoot my face off? To knock anybody in? No, God knows I love you like I've never loved in my life of people. Never. Never, never before God I stand. This Bible open before me. Never have I trusted. Never have I seen in people's faces what I see now. Don't blow it. Don't blow it. Bear in love. And everything you can do, do it. If I go down the drain, that's like I told my wife, listen, if I hit the skids, you leave me and leave me cold. I told her that. She knows it. See? There is that agape love, that great heavenly beautiful love. But there is that filial love too, that we're brothers and sisters in Christ. And for the first time, I'm seeing something mature, which I believe could be a church that can stand together in love. I could be wrong. If I'm right, you watch the devil try to blow it. Brother Brand said, they'll come in. Oh, yeah. Sit right amongst you. Now, listen. There's only one place a person can move together on, and that's on a revealed word because there's nothing else.
Amen.
Talk about God all you want. Talk about anything all you want, brother, sister, you know as well as I do. What you're talking about in the final analysis is revealed word. Because that's what we got from the great revealer. See? Oh, yeah. That's where we stand. Now, I want to go to Ephesians, the first chapter. I'm not mad to anybody. Don't think I am. I can't say one saying, I never loved the people like you as I've loved in my life, and be mad at you. Ain't no thing. I'm just trying to get the thing across. That's all. Now, the third to fifth verses, blessed be the God and Father of Lord Jesus Christ, who blessed with all spirits, blessed in heavenly place, according to you, chosen us before the foundation of the world in him, that we should be holding up blame before him in love, having blessed in us the adoption of children by Jesus Christ and according to the good pleasure of his will. All right, let's go to the third chapter and read 14 to 21. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. Now notice, over in the first chapter, he said, for this cause, because you're full of the Holy Ghost, he said, I'm looking down the road and I'm praying because of your love one toward another. Now notice where he put the love and the faith. Faith and agapo. And filial. They were a family unit in that church. Now he said, look, the revelation is coming in there. Now he said, I bow my knee praying, he said, for that great revelation that's going to step up those vibrations, that's going to step up that great reflection to bring us to the place of maturity, to bring the dead out of the ground, to get us into the resurrection. Now watch what he said. Now he said, I bow my knee praying back there. Now watch praying. Unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. Now, heaven and earth, he's talking about a family. Back there he was stating a certain position they had come to, and over here he is reiterating, and the position is, it's a family. Now here's where your filial comes in. Not that it's not agape, but it's agapo, but it's we're getting to each other. That he would grant you according to his glory, to be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man. That Christ may dwell in your heart by faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height. Now it says all the saints. Like I said a while ago, and I've been preaching on this love, the love of the revealed word of God is what brings us together. We stand with each other. We can't necessarily stand with each other according to gifts, our height, our mannerisms, and the thing that you don't like about me and I don't like about you. Oh, Barnabas and Saul, Paul were called, separated by the Holy Ghost and by one gospel. And I believe just as sure as Silas and Timothy were sons in the ministry of Paul, so was that man Barnabas. But they had a personality difference and a split. They split asunder. I'm going to tell you what. There's no time for the end of split. We're getting beyond that. We don't have any personality problems here. If you are, we haven't grown up yet. We look at our own little kids at home. Each one's different than the other kid. And our trouble is we try to regiment him. You can't regiment him. You got to deal with each one the way he is. Every one of us is a certain place in Jesus Christ here, but we're family. You see? Rooted and grounded in love. And are able to comprehend with all saints the length and the breadth, the depth and height, and to know the love of God which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now he's telling you right here that it's a family affair. Everybody say, well, I love God, hallelujah, I love God, hallelujah. Go this way, go that way. Forget it. You ain't got no more love of God than I don't know what. It's family. It's family. Go back in your own family. Fun. Just examine your own lives. How many men were around their kids as they were growing up? Now, some of the young ones, not too many. We got a couple, three couples here right now raising small kids. What are you doing about your kids? There's a certain funny thing about men, they can't seem to help themselves. They'll run to a pool hall or someplace else, or they'll even visit somebody and talk, when they know they should be home with their wife and kids. The devil will use a man every time that way to split him apart. Now, where's agape love coming on that one? Where's the filial? Man say he loved God, hasn't got time for his family. Man say he loved God and doesn't do this and doesn't that. Listen, there's something wrong somewhere, brother, sister. The devil's tricking you. Then you hear a sermon on, oh, everything, the agapo love, and never mind the filial. You better mind the filial, because God had a filial love to his son. And the love of wife is commended. The love of husband, the love of children is commended. The whole thing is commended in love. There are different degrees and steps. Right? See? Now let's open our hearts to the love of Almighty God. I was reading along here. Now unto him is able to do exceeding abundantly all we can ask or think according to the powers that work within us. Unto him be glory in the church by Jesus Christ through all ages, world of the end. Now how does that glory get there? It gets there through the revelation of the Word of God. And we in the revelation, expansive toward our divine love and our brotherly love, begin to move. That's where love covers a multitude of sins. That's where love works in the world of his neighbor. Now, who's a neighbor? It's the fellow that does you good. The fellow did you a favor, and you need to have a favor done to you. Well, let's keep reading. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the calling which you're called, with all lowliness, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another in love. Now, there comes a time when something's got to be done, but do it in love. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Now, listen, there's one body. There's one Spirit. One even call, even as you're called, one hope of your calling. There's one Lord. There's one faith. There's one baptism. There's one God and Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in you all. We're one body. Got one revealed Word. Got one God. Got one love. Well, we got more than one love. We got the agape love, and we got the filial love. And each one lines up with the Word. Each one tests itself out. Now listen, brother, sister, I believe today that we're coming into it. And I don't believe for one minute that we just sit back and watch it as though, hey, it's going to happen anyway, though it is going to happen. But I believe being aware of it and opening our hearts and our minds and watching and approving of it. You see, here's what happened back there. They did not approve of God himself. They did not approve of God's Word. We do. So therefore, we are open for the power of God to do something in us and for us and to us. And manifested as a bride. The mind has been opened. But I tell you, an open mind also will begin to do things. Thus we recognize the agape love and keep it undefiled by the Word filter and offer it to God. And in it, our life becomes true and tried the way it should be. We recognize filial love and its pure bond in bride. And we see our true brotherhood in the family of God where we walk in love. You know, back in the old days, and Brother Branham was not against this, they sold everybody his goods, laid the apostles' feet, and nobody counted his own. I don't suggest that's being done here. I don't suggest we do it. I got no call from God to do anything like that. But I do have a call to God to let us know that there is a scripture that distinctly said any man that shuts up his heart in compassion against his brother, something wrong with him. But the Bible also warns at the end time, that this filial love will go plumb to sea. That's what Brother Branham hit out against. And that filial love will do two things. Or think and get away two things. It'll become illicit in its sexual affairs. And it'll become a sponger. Right. Now let's get it back. I'm preaching the Word of God. I've got books to back me up. I've got the Greek. I've got the authorities. I kid you not. It's about time we rose the occasion. Stood right up and be counted in every way, shape, and form. Yep, we got men here in this congregation I'm proud of. Because I know jolly well, they'll back their kids limber, but they won't let the kids get away with things and say, well, hey, it's okay to be a sponger or a bum or something else. Move. I don't say anybody's sponger, but let's get the picture flat. That's one of the things of the end time. Okay, now, enough said. Filial love, agape love, yep. Now, we walk in love. To illustrate, this is the best I can. Brother Branham said, the bride meets here on earth in fellowship, previous to the rapture. Now, that's going to be agape love, but it's going to be like filial love. Let's illustrate it. Here the dead come out of the ground, and here we are, and I believe we're going to be there. I count myself to be there. I don't look not to be there. I figure I'm going to be there. Otherwise, why bother? Well, you say you could be foolish virgin. Well, if I'm going to be virgin, might as well be wise virgin.
That's right. Amen.
I don't just see anything else. And I've got no eye for the other stuff. If I'm not off on creeds and dogmas, I'm certainly sorely fooled. But here they come out of the ground, and here we're changed. Now, let's say that this is filial love. All this time here, there's nothing rejoicing in each other. What a wonderful time. And he stands back there with the same filial love, letting us do it. But when we're taken up there, we'll forget each other. You just see him. The incarnate one. That, I believe, will be the agapo love, and yet it'll be a filial love. But filial love, how are you going to put it? I can't. There's no way I can put them. But just to know that they're there, and to try to tell you, and it's going to be tremendously fantastic at that particular time. It'll be the great climax of the wedding supper. Our devotion to God and to our brethren show that the bride is coming back to her first love, which she lost. You lost your first love. They already were getting into a mess. The Corinthian church was letting a young man get by sleeping with his father's young wife. Instead of mourning, well, they sort of were saying, well, you know, it's a meaningful affair. Same rotten junk as today. Unadulterated filth. Has nothing to do with love that's contained in the human breast or the contained in the breast of God. It has nothing to do with the sense, but the filthy sensations of the flesh. And I say filthy sensation because sex outside of wedlock is filthy. Put it down where it belongs. If you've been that way before, get over it. Remember, there's no place anymore after this message comes. There's no place anymore. There is no place anymore. Now that's preached. You say, do you think anybody here doing it? I don't know what anybody's doing. I don't hold a candle to call in your bedroom and see if you're doing things right. I'll pass out a certain book and you mark it down and see if you're doing it right. I don't intend it. But you're not babies anymore. You know what's allowed to God and what's not allowed to God. And I'm hitting it just the way the prophet hit it. I don't accuse anybody, but I preach it. See? Understand these things. Be pure and honest. Now, they are here together. We saw the love of God come down to us in this filthy age. God sending a prophet, not willing that we should perish. I will not come and destroy. I'll take my beloved out. And now we see the brethren coming together. We see a love. And I'll tell you, brother, sister, if this is not the thing that the Word of God is bringing about, well, I'll just say one thing. I am fooled, and I'm not too horrendously disappointed in my fooling. All I can say is I cannot wait for the real thing to come along. Because there's only one thing I can see to do it, brother, sister. There's only one thing I can see, and that is Elijah himself brought a restoration, which was this word, not a catalyst. No, that's what too many people think. Somebody comes as a catalyst. Jesus was not a catalyst. He was a deliverer, a transformer, and a transfigurer. And so is this word. It is not a catalyst. It is a transformer and a transfigurer, taking the beggars off the dung heap. The wretched, miserable, blind, naked, mouthing, brattish, rotten, Laodicean bunch. We're there. You bet we were there. Brother Branham saw his mother, which wasn't his mother, his father's wasn't his mother, the organization, the churches and denomination, he saw them. Sure. But those faith muscles at the end time and the rottenest period of this world, God sent a man with faith muscle come right out here and get out a bride. And that bride is the dynamism of God today through the revealed word. Where the Holy Spirit is unloosed for the first time in 2,000 years. And there's a bride marching on with the love of God and a brotherly love. I believe it's there, brother, sister. And I'm going to tell you something. Get this and understand it. If it isn't there and revealed, you and I can't have it. But if it has been revealed, then it's ours. Because the secret things belong unto the Lord our God, but those things which have been revealed to us belong unto us and to our children for 1,000 generations. In other words, when you get your hands on a Holy Ghost revelation, and God Almighty gives that to you, nothing will take it from you. It goes right down to eternity. 1,000 generations? Bless your heart. 1,000 generations At 70 years, God allots a man. Even 40 years, that's 40,000 years. Earth hasn't been here with man on it that long. 6,000 years. Shows you it's eternal. So what's here now? I believe it's all here. I believe that with all my heart. I wouldn't preach this way. I believe it's true. I don't believe we have to worry about it, question it. I believe we just got to believe it. Know that it is here. You love him tonight?
Amen.
That's right. I love him as I never loved him before. Loved hereby, we know the love of God. We know we love him because we love God's people. You believe that? I believe with all my heart. I believe that. I can't do otherwise. Heavenly Father, we stand here in your presence knowing this, Lord, that no matter what happens, by way of ministers, ministries, prophets, cataclysms of nature even coming, we know that there isn't going to anybody be changed unless there's something down inside to respond to the Word of God and come right to it. Lord, tonight I hit hard and knowing this, that if there isn't something in me and something in them, well, at least we've raised our voices and we'll have to go down in history, eternal history, and know that we knew that there was something at this end time and we caught a great glimpse of it. Lord, I don't want to believe for 1 minute that we're that part of Hebrews, the 6th chapter, that you can't repent. That we're part of those minds that and those ears that have been blocked off. I can't believe that, Lord. I can't believe it. But I hope, trust tonight, Lord God, there's not one of us. But Lord, if we are in that category, we know that they were just going to go down that road for the separation and for the burning. That's the way it's going to be. The tares going to be burned. But we don't feel that way tonight, Lord. We believe that we have already been the recipients of your divine love, and now by the grace of Almighty God flowing out through us by bonds of Calvary, through the power of the Holy Spirit, all these things devolving upon us, a brotherly love, a filial love with the agape love, absolutely bringing us to a place, family of God. Family of God. Lord, now with that in mind, help us to get other points and features lined up in our understanding. And then not just in an understanding as per a precept, but let it come forth as life. I know you heard our prayer, Lord, and I got to believe, I do believe that you have granted it to us that now this closer walk, this closer love, this closer everything will be manifested. Lord, we're here in this hour to receive. Thank you for your help, your divine presence. Go with us, Lord. Be with us. Keep us, O God. Keep us on fire. Keep us in tune. Keep us, Lord, ever mindful. We cannot praise you enough. We cannot love thee enough. We only know that we do love you as we've never loved you before. And, Lord, we see what we've never seen before. And we're so glad as never that we've been glad before. We just praise you tonight with our whole heart. And thank you for everything. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray, amen. The Lord bless you. Let's sing, Oh, How I Love Jesus, because I believe we can sing that tonight. We've got every evidence of knowing that something has happened and is happening. We can sing it, I believe, with truth. Maybe it was a time we thought we knew it, but tonight I believe we know it. Let's sing it. Okay, Dave, start it out.